Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is one of the great quarterbacks in the history of our franchise. Number 7, Joe Theismann is with us. Can you believe that they are in the NFC Championship game after all of these years of discussing how are they going to get better? How low is it right now? This has been an incredible run, and I want to know how you've, sort of consumed it and watched it.
Kevin, it is, first of all, it's always good to catch up with you. It is so much fun. Not only are we, in the NFC Championship game, but we probably have done it in one of the most exciting fashions any team has ever possibly been able to do it in. I mean, every game is down to the wire. The game against Detroit was the only time I could breathe with about 3 minutes to go in the football right. game in the last month and a half. It's one thing to be captivating. It's another thing to be able to come out on top. And that's just so much credit goes to the entire football team. I mean, Dan and Adam, they've put together a heck of a football team. Josh giving them a chance to be able to do the things that they need to do. The additions, Austin Eckler, Bobby Wagner, Chin. I mean, you look at the guys that they added. And I go all the way back, and you and I talked about this last time we visited. What people don't understand about this football team, because they want to sort of look at the end results, is this team had so much newness to it when the season started. New staff, new system, new assistant coaches, new head coach, a lot of guys on the team. About, 60-65% of the starters in the first game hadn't even worn a Commander's uniform.
Right.
So I am thrilled for what they're accomplishing. I'm thrilled for the fans of Washington. We've been beyond starved for this, to be honest with you. It's when you look back at 33 years playing in an NFC Championship game, you go all the way back to what they've been able to do and been able to accomplish as a football team. It's a credit to every person involved in that organization.
I've done these things with you so many times over the years, and one of the things I've always observed, and you're very good at it because you are a team guy and you're a championship team guy, is you go through the entire roster and you mention everybody that you think has contributed to it. But I think this is one of the most unique circumstances I've ever seen as a fan, and that is one player elevating a team as much as Jaden has. Do you want to argue with me on that? Do you think that that's not true, or do you think it's a real team effort, or is it more him, or mostly him?
Well, Kevin, certainly, you hear me talk about the quarterback position being the most dependent position on the field.
Right.
But if you don't have one, you can't win. Jaden has taken this football team literally on his shoulders. Okay. And if you look at the way Cliff calls a game, he places it squarely on Jaden's shoulders. In the last two games we've had to have, big fourth down plays. Who's got the ball in their hands? He does. You got to be able to make a throw. Who's got the ball in his hand? He does. I'm running out of superlatives, to be honest with you, to describe Jaden. I mean, I'm fascinated by the way he plays the position. Having played the position, number one, having had a chance to be able to do some of the things that he's been able to accomplish as a part of a team is something else. But then his demeanor, the way he handles himself, Didn't really expect anything different. He's just a class young man. But, you know, I just appreciate the fact that there's such great trust in his ability to be able to put the ball where it's supposed to be. He's one of the best deep throwers in the National Football League already. And that's something we haven't had, Kev, as a part of this offense forever. I mean, you know, we barely could score 20 points because we just couldn't stretch the field. Now, Terry's catching the ball down the field. Deami's catching the ball down the field. You know, everybody's making plays. And the other thing that is interesting, and I'll go back to the Kansas City Chiefs last year. They led the league in drop passes, I think 35, going into the last two or three games of the season and into the playoffs. And then they started catching everything. And they wound up with a world championship. This football team has put, and I don't want to jinx them, has put very few balls on the ground. When the throw is made, the catch has to be had, it's been had. But, I mean, Jaden's done a terrific job making decisions. Now, go back to the Eagle game. And I looked at all the numbers over the last two Eagle games. You go back to November, I still think he was finding his way in this offense, even though it was still, you know, it was still back in November. And I just think that he's grown so much. I mean, the Steelers put pressure on him. He looked a little uncomfortable. The Eagles put pressure on him. He looked a little uncomfortable. He doesn't look uncomfortable anymore. And the thing that stood out to me about Jaden was the last touchdown pass, I believe, he threw in Detroit, might have been, or possibly the week before against the Cowboys. As a quarterback that has athleticism, the natural tendency sometimes is as soon as you see a gap, take off.
Right.
Because you feel pressure. He doesn't. He hangs in the pocket as long as he can with total focus down the field to be able to make the throw. And then he has an uncanny ability to be able to maneuver his way through the traffic to get into open spaces. And there again, he starts making excellent decisions. Very seldom do you see him throw the ball back into the middle of the football field. He goes down when he thinks he's going to get hit. He gets out of bounds. It gets out of bounds with a smile. It's almost like, you didn't get me this time, and I don't think you're going to get me next time. And it's fascinating. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that his play has certainly been a big part of why we're where we are, and our defense and the offensive line. You know, when you don't talk about an offensive line, that means that they're doing a heck of a job. Because, oh, well, that holding penalty hurt us, or that jumping off sides hurt us. This team has really come together as a unit on both sides of the ball.
You know, you just reminded me of something, too, and I don't even think I've mentioned it. The fact that that place was as lit as it was Saturday night, and there weren't any – I mean, I think they called timeout once. They had a second-half delay game, but for the most part, it was flawless in that building with that kind of noise for the road team. I mean, that's hard to do. You never played a road playoff game as a starting quarterback. I don't think you did. I think all of your games were at home. But that is a hard thing to do, to go on the road in a playoff game in that environment and not make any of those kinds of mistakes that you usually see veteran teams make.
Especially in a dome, Kev.
Yeah.
Because the noise in a dome, it's really funny. It sort of goes, it goes out, up, and down on top of you. I had this in Detroit. The loudest stadium I ever played in was up in Pontiac.
Yeah.
Russ Grimm was my left guard. And I'm under the center calling signals. Now, keep in mind, Jaden operates 5-6 yards back.
Right.
So I'm under the center. I'm trying to call plays, and Russ comes to me in the huddle, and he says, "I can't hear you." I said, you're a foot and a half away. He said, "I still can't hear you." I said, "You're going to have to look at the ball because I can't yell any louder." What they've been able to do is they have great communication. I mean, you see him do a lot of signaling in different ways for different routes. You know, that's a credit to every member of that offense understanding what the play is, because you like to verbalize plays a lot. I mean, you'd call them and they read right. You know, or spread right, short motion, 989 wide cross stick. You want to get that out. But in their case, it's so loud, and they move with such speed that you have to know exactly what's happening as he signals what's going in. So, again, that's the intellectual aspect of not only Jaden, but also the players on the field to be able to understand exactly what you're doing in somewhat of a hurry-up system. And, you know, I mean, it served us well. And, hey, we have to talk about fourth down, which is just an extension of third down for us.
Yeah. I mean, even the first one that they tried to get tricky on with Mariota, he throws the check down knowing that fourth down's coming. They'll go for it.
Yeah. I mean, see, that I don't know if we've talked about this, but this is something that, you know, a lot of times fans, they love the game, but just a little bit more of an element into it is when you're a play caller and you call a play, it's important that the quarterback specifically understands not what the play is, but why it was called.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm calling this play. I'm calling this play because we're in a position on the field where I believe we're going to go for it on fourth down if we don't get it. Or I'm calling this play because I want you to take a shot down the field. This is what we've set up the game for. This is the corner we want to put a double move on. This is the deep post because we think the safety's starting to cheat up a little bit. You make that throw in anticipation because you know he called it because the next play you're going to go for something else. I call it the what and why of football. You know what's being called, but you have to understand why it's being called. And that's just that great communication between Jaden and Cliff. It has to be one. It has to be one mind. It's two men, one mind.
If only Coach Joe would have explained to you why he called rocket screen. You know, we could have saved ourselves an end of the half disaster.
No, he did.
He did. He told you to just run it.
No. Before that. The conversation. I don't know if we've ever had this conversation.
Yes, we've had this conversation. You asked him, Joe, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, but you see, you never got the explanation why he called it. I don't think we ever went that deep.
No, tell me that. You told me, you said, Joe, not a good idea. We ran this, you know, in the game in October, and Joe Washington went 80 yards with it. This isn't a good idea. They're going to know it's coming. And he said, run it. And so you went out and ran it.
You're right. But his explanation was, as you said, he felt like it had worked against them before. You know, Joe went 90. And so, you know, and that's, you know, we know the rest of the story. And I just looked at him and I said, I don't think it's a good idea to put the ball in the air. And he, you know, I started to walk away and he didn't just say run it. He pointed his finger at me.
Right.
And he said, run it. Just
yes.
The way he did. And I did. And it turned out to be a disaster. So that's just, you know, it's one of those things. But I mean, you know, you look at playoff games and they get, people focus on certain plays in playoff games. Like, I feel terrible for Mark Andrews. Opportunity, it's there. You know, who capitalizes on an opportunity and who has the opportunity not happen for them? You know, there's no reason why the Ravens aren't playing for an AFC championship. No reason whatsoever. They played tough in that game. They have the team to be able to do it. Buffalo was resilient. Buffalo is there. Congratulations to them. But that game could have gone to overtime very easily. Or, again, Mark not had that one knocked out of his hand. Once again, my heart goes out to him because I've been in that situation. Yeah, and the thing is now when you have it happen in a playoff game like that, you have an entire offseason to try and, you know, deal with it. Because people say, oh, just put it out of your mind. You can't. You can't. It's something, you know, it's a very tough situation. And fortunately for us, we have had every member of this team step up incredibly. I mean, you know, we're on our sixth kicker, for goodness sakes. How many teams?
Is it six? Is it really six?
I believe it's the
sixth. I think it's four.
Kicker. Well, somebody.
You might be right. I want to.
Anyway,
we're talking to Jeff Theismann.
Put it that way.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's
when you need them.
Exactly. We're talking to Joe Theismann, of course. Back to Jaden for a moment. Is there anything, because we've all kind of said, I don't know, I can't name anything that he doesn't do at a super high level. Is there something you've identified, rookie player, not playing like one, where you're like, yeah, that's an area where maybe, you know, he's got some room to improve?
No. I study him specifically, obviously being, you know, being our quarterback and all, but I study him as a young quarterback, and I compare him to, you know, people like Bo Nix. I think, you know, Bo Nix would probably be the next one to compare it to, and Caleb has had such a mess in Chicago from system to no line to everything else. It's really not even a fair comparison. But I, like I said, you could make a list of different things up that Jaden and the, really what you want out of the position. Do you throw the ball down the field? Well, yes. Are you accurate? Yes. Do you get the ball out of the pocket? Do you get the ball out of your hands quickly? Yes. Do you hang in the pocket? Yes. Do you have mobility? Yes. Do you understand how to protect yourself? Yes. Do you understand down and distance? Yes. Do you understand not how to make, how to take a sack? Yes. Do you get out of bounds so people can't hit you? Yes. Because remember the conversations that were had earlier in the year. Well, you know, he's not a really big guy, and he's tight. Let's put it that way. He's muscular.
Yeah, he had a thin frame.
But here, but there's nine right there, Kev.
I know.
I mean, and take those nine and apply it to every quarterback in the National Football League, not just the young guys, but apply it to every quarterback in the National Football League. And he'll just continue to grow. And the thing that you really have to appreciate about him, and you know, talking to, you know, people around the football team, is first of all, he loves the game of football. That was, I remember interviewing Bill Parcells many years ago when I was in broadcasting, and the first question Bill would ask a potential player or a draft, do you love football? And yeah. I tell you something, there are a lot of guys in this league that don't love football.
I know.
And I remember a great quote from one of the linemen who retired a long time ago. It says, you may love football, but football doesn't love you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very profound statement. But he loves the game. I think he loves to grow. He reminds me from an intellectual standpoint of Peyton Manning. Tom Moore, who coached Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, Tom had to keep giving Peyton stuff to challenge him mentally.
Right.
He kept wanting more and more and more and more. And I think Jaden is that way. Cliff, you keep coming up with different things to be able to challenge. You have to as a coordinator. You can't go stale on your guy. Because,
so,
you know,
Joe,
there's a
what you're saying,
appetite to get better.
What you're saying, and we've been talking about it a lot for, you know, a couple of months now, he's an elite quarterback, rookie or not. He's a top 3, 4, 5 quarterback in the NFL right now, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I absolutely do. And the other thing is he doesn't wilt under pressure.
Oh, my God. You know, he embraces it.
He loves it. I mean, to be honest with you, when I played, the bigger the game, the more comfortable I felt.
You were 100% the same way.
It was such a comfort level that you found, and it's a trust in the guys around you. It's a trust in the plays that are being called. And then, of course, there's the, you know, you have to have the athletic skills to be able to execute all this. But, you know, you could sit here. I would sit down with anybody and say, tell me what aspect of Jaden's game you, number one, don't like, or number two, you feel like he can improve. But you're always going to get better. You know, Tom Brady's a good friend, and I've talked to Tom, and you know, every day you have to learn. You know, every day you have to, you know, you have to be able to learn something. You're in practice. You're learning where to put a ball. You know, then it becomes, it's not just throwing a football, but if the defender is on the right side, you got to put the ball on the left side. You know, just the little minutia that goes into the elements of being able to throw a football. But he does that well too. I think sometimes he gets going, he rushes a little bit. Sometimes he rushes his throws just a little bit. So I found one.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of the quarterback counters where you end up running them into a pile of people. But that's not a him issue. That's more of a Cliff issue. Here's something, you know, related to the game Sunday, because I do want to hear kind of your thoughts on the matchup. But how do you stop this offense? What's the answer to stopping them from driving the ball and scoring on basically 75 to 80% of their possessions?
Are you talking about us, or are you talking about Philadelphia?
Us. How do you stop our offense?
Well, I think our offense gets stopped by ourselves. You know, getting behind the chains, as the term is being used. dealing with first and 15s, dealing with first and 20s. That's the way that you can derail it. I mean, you know, Tress Way, I've always referred to Tress as one of the best punters in the National Football League. I have to refer to him as one of the best holders, because that's all he's doing.
Yeah, that's all he does.
His job description has changed, which is he's thrilled, we're thrilled. But I think that this offense, if you put any offense in long yardage situations, the percentages go down to be able to continue drives. But we've been able to do it. You know, like I said, I think the big thing for this football team is, as we throw the football, guys catch the football. You look at some of the throws Ertz has caught. You look at Diami last week. I mean, the guy had his hand over his face. He couldn't even see the ball. That's how well it was thrown. And to be able to hold on to it. It was. I mean, the catches that Terry has made, the places the ball has been put, you have to continue to make those plays, and the offense becomes very, very difficult to stop, especially when, we don't hang our hat on the running game. We do to a degree with Jaden and B-Rob, but, we're more of a, okay, what's the down and distance? Let's figure out a way, make it kind of a football team.
All right, so Sunday in Philly. First of all, big picture question. Is there anything that would make you believe that this is a nice story, this is a great run, but rookie quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls, or Mahomes would be too much, or Allen? Is there anything that you think like makes you believe they can't win it all?
No.
Yeah.
I can say that. I say that unequivocally. I believe this football team, first of all, there's, you might want to call it, sometimes there's a team of destiny.
Yeah.
The resiliency that this team has been able to show, converting fourth and ones, coming up with big plays in the big moments. They've continued not to do it once or twice, but they've continued to do it over and over and over again. A belief that the game is never over. And I'll go all the way back to the Chicago Bear game, and I'll cite that Hail Mary as possibly the beginning of something incredibly special for this football team. A belief that no matter if there's one play left, we have a chance. You know, Coach Gibbs, when we played, Miami in the Super Bowl, one of the things Joe pointed out specifically was, we want to be within a score as we move into the fourth quarter. Because they were a dynamic defense.
Right.
Athletic, dynamic, fast, multiple looks. If we can stay close, we can wear them down. And we can win this. And he was absolutely right. And that's what we did. Of course, Big John, broke the big one. But I just think that we're very capable of playing with anybody. We went into Detroit, where nobody was supposed to defeat this football team. And we not only handled the ball well on offense, but we shut down the most prolific offense in football statistically. And did it in a fine fashion, I might add. So no matter who you play, I think this week presents an entirely different challenge for us. And that's Saquon. That is,
Joe, this is a completely different defense than Detroit's, which was wounded and troubled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question. But it isn't like we haven't seen this before.
I know.
I've played in games, Kevin, where we've played a team for the third time, specifically the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think we've done it with the Giants possibly too, but I know for sure the Cowboys.
You actually only played them twice that year because of the strike.
Yeah, that particular year. But all the years I've played, we've played the teams three times.
Yeah.
There's no complacency, but you get to study you. That's sort of the advantageous part of it, is I get to study what I did against that look, against that player. Where did I put that ball? What did that route look like? You're not going to change a whole lot of what got you here, but I guarantee you Cliff's going to come up with some stuff that will create opportunities. But the big thing is, what are we going to be able to do? How are you going to handle Saquon? And the thing you want to do is, You just can't let him go 60 and 70 yards. You can't have that one big burst. And in the last, I guess, four or five games, really maybe five or six games, if you look at the Eagles' offense, there's been that one big play that has sort of broken the game off. It happened against the Rams. Happened against pretty much everyone. Happened against us.
They seem one-dimensional right now. Like, and if Jalen, if Hurts is not 100%, they take him out of the running game.
Well, he's not going to be 100%. I mean, let's face it. He's not all of a sudden going to heal in a week.
Right.
I mean, he's got a lingering issue, and he's going to have to get the ball out of his hands. And you know, AJ Brown was, you know, he's been a big part of their offense against us. Saquon, a big part of our offense against us. And you know, you don't go into this football game and go into Philadelphia and say, well, Jaden's going to throw five touchdown passes. He's going to rush for two more. And he's going to throw for 260 yards. You know, if it's 200 yards and we win, who cares? I mean, he doesn't care. But I think that we have enough weapons, and certain guys have stepped up at different times to create problems for them from a defensive standpoint. You know, if you want to try and take Terry away, then Diami will step up, or O will step up, or, you know, Austin Eckler has now become a very integral part of what the passing game is for us. So sort of pick your poison. And you know, we're going to run the football. We're going to attempt to run the football. It's not going to be just drop back and throw the ball 60 times.
Right.
I don't think you can beat the Eagles doing that. So it's got to be balanced. But, like, you know, when you look at the Eagles and you study that football team, yeah, their defense is terrific. But I think offensively, you know, Saquon has to be the one that you have to be conscious of. Because if you start committing people to the line of scrimmage, they're good enough to be able to hurt you on the back end.
Right. I mean, it's almost like, you know, we used to say about so many other teams, yeah, our best defense has to be our offense. Now that's what people are saying when they play us. If we don't stay on the field, possess the ball, that means five's coming back out onto the field for them with 17, and they're going to be in the end zone again. That's Philly's way. They've got to possess the ball, and obviously our run defense has really struggled this year. That seems to me to be the way that Philly would win the game. Do you feel that way or not?
That would be the one matchup I think that you could focus on and say, this is the one that is so critical. All of them are critical, but that particular one I think is extremely critical, our run defense against their running game in general. And it is, like you say, it isn't just Saquon. I don't think, you know, Jalen's going to stop running. He'll probably try and pick his spots to be able to make plays. You know, third and five, third and six, he gets a chance. He's probably going to run and protect himself. I only hope this. I only hope that the officiating in this game does not wind up being like it did in the Kansas City-Houston game.
Terrible.
Where two calls made a specific difference. Now, heaven help me, Kevin, why couldn't the booth upstairs call down to the officials after looking at it and say, that was not a hit to the head. That was two Houston Texans hitting one another.
Terrible.
We have the technology. Why can't we make the game fair and right?
Well, how about just, if it's not a face mask, let's incorporate that. If it's the third and two Montgomery run that Fowler Jr. got called for a face mask, he didn't come anywhere near his helmet.
Nope.
They should be able to overturn that. You're right on the Kansas City game. By the way, the other thing about that game, they've got to penalize now the baiting and the flopping by quarterbacks. You can't clown a defense and then try to slide and draw something at the last second. You don't know if they're going out of bounds. You don't know if they're going down. They're going to have to start penalizing the quarterbacks for that.
It will never happen.
Quarterback.
No,
you saying the officiating because of hockey league? Because do you know that the Hockey League led crew 6-0 doing Eagles games for the Eagles?
Hey, officials make. I don't believe they're. I don't believe that's, you know, intentionally worked out that way. I think the Eagles won a lot of football games
So yeah, it's true.
You say if a particular crew happened to be 6-0 working one of their games, well, shoot, they won, what, 15?
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, that 6-0 during the Sirianni-Hurts era, the crew led by Sean Hockley, the Eagles are 6-0 when he is the lead referee during the Sirianni-Hurts era.
I pay no attention.
But they've won a lot of games, to your point.
I pay no attention to that. I just want to be able to see. I want to be able, because people, let's use the technology that's available. And for goodness sakes, if a quarterback gets pushed to the ground, don't throw a penalty. I mean, if you happen to push somebody to the ground, that is not roughing. I promise you.
You got to lose a tooth for it to be roughing. You got to at least lose your two front teeth for it to be roughing.
At least one. You know, minimum.
Spoken
of one,
like an old school QB. You know what I've been thinking about, Joe? The 83 team was so unstoppable offensively. You guys set the scoring mark most points. And you had a defense that, you know, the turnovers, the takeaways were incredible. But they also couldn't stop people when they weren't taking the ball away. It's kind of similar to this because when you were out there in those games, you guys had to score. You know, well, I mean, your defense got a lot of takeaways. That was the difference between that team and this team, although 5 on Saturday night was certainly a nice thing. But, man, when you are playing on a team where you have to score almost every possession, that's a lot of pressure on the offense.
Well, Kev, I'll take a little exception with you. Our football team that year was plus 43 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The takeaways were the difference for the defense.
But they created short fields for us. They created opportunities for our offense to be able to put the points on that we managed to, you know, set the record at that time with. But it was wonderful complimentary football. And like I said, you know, where's Mark Mosley? You know, I mean, how many kickers? I don't believe there's ever been another kicker that's been an MVP of the National Football League.
If it wasn't for
Mark in 82, we wouldn't have been able to get to the Super Bowl where John made such an incredible difference. So, I mean, you know, it was offense, defense, special teams. But this football team, defensively, they bend a little bit, but they come up with plays. They come up with big tackles. They come up with big losses. They come up with interceptions. They come up with great defenses. This is an extremely complimentary football team. And even the kicking game has contributed of late.
The biggest compliment, though, goes to number 5. We can all agree on that.
No question.
How are you going to watch the game? Are you going to be there?
Debating right now. I'm not sure.
Were you in Detroit?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
No, I was. It was going to be hard to get from Detroit to Atlanta for the Notre Dame game, which our guys, you know, they acquitted themselves. We spotted them too much in the beginning, in the first half, gave just too much of an edge, and then weren't able to really come back and close the gap completely. But
I heard the scene there was with those two fan bases was unbelievable.
It was really awesome. I mean, there was red and there was green. The only thing missing was Christmas Day. that would have been very fitting. But it was red and it was green, and everybody was very respectful and loud and cheering for one another. And I'm proud of our Notre Dame football team. And Marcus Freeman is just a very, very special coach. Thrilled for his success. Thrilled that they gave him an extension to stay at the university. And you know, people kept talking about him going to the Bears. And first thing I asked myself, why would you want to do that to yourself? But not from there. So, you know, and to Coach Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, they played a heck of a game and they put more points on the board than we did.
I mean, you had a chance for a trifecta this year because the last time I had you on, Toronto had just won the Grey Cup, your CFL team. Notre Dame was in the national championship game, and your professional career with Washington, they've got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Hell of a year for Joe Theismann.
There's one other thing. A buddy of mine sent me a text. I had a horse running down in Kentucky. Some guy named a horse Theismann, and the horse won.
What did he win?
We won the race.
Oh, but it was you don't know what kind of racer stakes this guy is a DC guy?
No, he's a California guy. He's a big fan.
All right,
and he just named the horse after me. And all of a sudden, they send me this text with the breakdowns of the race, and they show, you know, Theismann wins. And it's like, holy mackerel, I'm having a heck of a run here.
Well, you need a stake in that horse. You should have. You need at least just. You never know. I mean, that can be a big payday if it goes the distance. You're the best.
I've had horses. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you have. You're the best for doing this. I appreciate it. Let's get another one, and then we can talk before the Super Bowl.
Absolutely, Kev. Look forward to it. Take care.
Yep. Joe Theismann, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think one of the big things Sunday is down in distance, and Joe touched on that. Now, they've been able to overcome long down in distances all season long. When they've been in those situations, you know, Jaden has been able to overcome it. Remember in the Philadelphia game on the drive that made it, I think, 27-21, he had that 4th-and-11 scramble. It was probably the play of the game. You know, they're down 27-14. You're basically at the end of the third quarter. It's 4th-and-11, and he scrambles for 30 yards. So he's done it, you know, consistently, you know, and they did it several times during the Philadelphia game. But I don't think against Vic Fangio on the road, it's going to be advantageous to have to overcome. Of course, it's not advantageous. I think it would be a major disadvantage if they're not productive on first and second down. Now, I have no doubts that they're going to be successful on first and second down, but a consistent 2nd and 10, 2nd and 9, 2nd and 11, that's not going to bode well. I think that, I mean, we're going to have a lot more on this on Thursday and Friday, but Denton, to me, it's like Philadelphia, this is if you're thinking about this game, you're not worried about Washington offensively. That's the thing you're not worried about. If you're looking at Washington offense, Washington defense, Philly offense, Philly defense, you're not worried about Washington offensively. Nobody stops them, including the team they're playing, who turned them over 5 times and still couldn't stop them from scoring 36 points. I'm confident in Philly's talent on defense. I'm confident in their coordinator, but I'm still not confident in them stopping Washington. Matt Stafford, after turning the ball over twice in a driving snowstorm, drove him down the field twice and nearly had a chance to beat him at the end of that game. So the other three areas, Philly offensively, Washington defensively, Philly from a defensive standpoint because of the matchup they have, is where you focus on. And to me, it's like Philly's offense is the key to this game. Can they stay on the field and score points? Because if they can't, Philly's defense will have moments. Washington's not going 6-for-7 or 5-for-7 or 6-for-9, you know, on drives in this game. More likely than not, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 5-for-10 or 6-for-11 or 5-for-9. But they're not going, you know, 5-for-7, 6-for-9, which is what they've done in their last two games. But if Philly's offense can't do anything because they're one-dimensional, because their quarterback is hurt, it doesn't matter how susceptible Washington's defense has been. Philly's offense hasn't done a lot against anybody. You know, I think that's the key. When Philadelphia has the ball offensively, if they're not moving it consistently and then having it pay off at the end of long drives, clock-eating drives, keeping Jaden and Washington's offense on the sideline, they're not going to win the game. I don't think Philadelphia's defense stops Washington or turns them over enough times in this game to make a difference. It was a bit of an aberration, the five turnovers in that game. Remember, it's two Brian Robinson fumbles, one of them clearly forced by Jalen Carter, a De'Ami Brown fumble, and Jaden did throw two picks. You know, he forced that one when they were down by two, and it looked like it was going to cost him the game, the one that was picked off by Blankenship. He's got two picks against Jaden in two games. And the other interception was like towards the end of the half when he threw deep for McCaffrey over the middle kind of late and Gardner Johnson got it. But I just think Philly's offense, for Washington to lose this game, Philly's offense really has to be dominant. Is it possible? Yeah, is it possible they line Barkley up with a quarterback that's compromised and he rushes 33 times for 220 yards and they're 7-for-12 on third downs and they're 3-for-3 on fourth downs and on eight drives they score six times, four of them touchdowns, and they got 34 and Washington's only got 24 or 28? It's possible. Just doesn't seem likely to me. God, I don't want to jinx it. I just feel pretty confident about this game. All right. Denton had a couple of more burning NFL questions for me. We had a couple of other things to finish up with. We'll get to those things after these words from a few of our sponsors. Don't forget Westwood One's national call of the game. Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner on the call. Ross Tucker on the sidelines, 3 o'clock. Right here on the Team 980 and on 106.7 The Fan. I know Sundays this time of year. I was with you a few years back. Basketball games everywhere. You're driving around. Know that you're going to get Ian Eagle and Kurt Warner on the call right here on the Team 980. All right. You got a couple of other burning NFL questions that we didn't get to. Joe is great. Always love having Joe on. And you can tell how pumped Joe is about this. And the fact that an NFL quarterback, and look, Joe's always positive, and we know that over the years, but there's no doubt that Joe is searching for something to say, yeah, you know, he could do this, you know, this would be the area that the guys will work on in the offseason. There is nothing that Jaden Daniels does at anything other than a very high level already. And then all of the mental stuff, the intangible stuff, is there as well. All right, what did you have for me?
All right, so these questions all rely or are based off of our team. Right now, De'Ami Brown is third in receiving in the postseason, but he's first in active receivers. Ladd McConkey went crazy in that game with the Chargers, and then Nico Collins had 200 yards.
Is he really first among the receivers left in the postseason? I mean, Philly, A.J. Brown has 3 catches in 2 playoff games. So
that plays a factor into it. Devontae Smith, it hasn't been a whole lot better. He only has 8 catches in 2 playoff games, but De'Ami has 11 for 187 yards. That is 11 more yards than Terry McLaurin, who is second amongst guys that are still active. Khalil Shakir is number three in Buffalo. But with that said, do you think that De'Ami Brown, who's had 2 really good games, is going to continue against a much better secondary in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good game against Philly on December 22nd. You know, that it was when Noah Brown went out, that's when Diami stepped up, and Diami became Noah Brown's replacement for all intents and purposes in terms of targets. Remember, we talked about this, I think, before the first Philly game and said Diami's going to be a major focus. He got targeted more than he had been targeted, you know, at any time in the year, starting in that Tennessee and the New Orleans games. And he just had the most targets he's had all season long, maybe the most targets of his career. I'd have to check on that. 8 targets in the Detroit game, 6 catches, and let's face it, one of them was a flat-out drop that would have been a 20-yard-plus gain on the opening drive of the game. But yeah, because I think, you know, Terry's going to be the focus for if you had a flat-out burner on the other side, a real take-the-top-off-of-the-defense guy, then you would get less, you know, attention to Terry, but they don't really have that. I think Diami can really fly. And Terry, by the way, proved that he's still got that gear. But yeah, I think Diami's going to be a big part of what they look for. And in some of the stuff where it's just design from the jump, we're getting the ball into Diami's hands on a quick bubble or a quick tunnel to see him do his thing after he catches the football.
You are correct, by the way. This was the most targets that he'd ever had prior to
in
that.
In his career?
Yeah, his career high is rookie season. There were 2 games where he was targeted 6 times.
Okay.
But 8 is the most. You know, 5 was tied for the most against Tampa Bay that he'd had this season. Another time where he had 5 was against Philadelphia in the game that Washington won. He had 4 catches for 46 yards in or 56 yards in that one, including a 51-yard reception, the bomb that Jaden Daniels threw when they were backed up against their own end zone. All right. On the flip side of this, how do you anticipate Washington to defend Philly's wide receivers? The last time these two teams played, they only threw it at A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
I don't think they should. I don't think that Lattimore should chase A.J. Brown. That did not work out the first time. Lattimore was solid playing on one side on Saturday night, more than solid. He had a very good game. Certainly the analytics would say that he had an excellent game. He, you know, one thing Lattimore does, he is not afraid to come up and tackle, which you love to see. Hopefully he's feeling a little bit better, but Sanders still's proven that. You know, Sanders still had a really good game, remember, against A.J. Brown on the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before Lattimore was there. I've got a lot of confidence in Sanders still. I've got a lot of confidence in Lattimore. I do fear that if they load the box again like they did on the 22nd, you know, first of all, Barkley had his biggest runs against a loaded box in that game. But you also are in essentially, you know, deep one cover one with outside man coverage. And those are the throws that'll be easy for Jalen if he's hurt. Is I got man coverage, I'm throwing it up and giving AJ a shot, or I'm giving Devontae a shot. I'd rather not see that. I'd rather see not loaded boxes. And, you know, it didn't work with a loaded box the first time against him. So I'd rather see more of, you know, a less aggressive approach, I guess I would say. We're done, right?
Yep, that's all I got for you.
Who's in? Chris with
Rooster.
All right, Chris. Thinking about you, man. And I will be back tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, we've got a bunch lined up. Sam Fortier. Do we have others locked in or not? We had a bunch of names mentioned.
We had a bunch of names.
Should we discuss this after the show off the air?
Yeah, this is an off the air topic.
Okay. We'll probably have a player on tomorrow as well, just so you know. Enjoy it. Back tomorrow.